your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 is where we're going to be here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And we started a series last time on the book of 1 Samuel, looking at this book. And the idea, the theme of this book that we're going with is, who's the king? And of course, we're not just talking about the physical king. We're talking about the spiritual king, Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, let's stand if we can, out of respect for the word and to give our legs a little bit of a stretch as we read. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, we're going to look at Hannah's praise to God. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 will be in verse 1 through verse number 10. 1 Samuel 2 and verse number 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are good with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, he bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from up the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word and on the message here this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love and grace. Lord, we thank you that we can look at and examine and study your word here this morning. I pray that you give us understanding, give us clarity. Father, I pray that you would help us, like Anna, to praise you, to thank you in the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of all that has happened in this world and in our nation. Lord, help us to take a moment and to thank you and praise you, Lord, because you are good. And Lord, you are God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, encourage us, Father, through the words of Hannah that have been recorded for us. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in all these things. We need your grace. We need your strength. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts and challenge us all to have a greater appreciation for your goodness and grace in our lives because of this message this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would work in hearts. Lord, it's all by you. It's not by me. So Lord, I pray that it'll be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Be seated. Let's catch us up with a little bit with the context. Of course, you probably, many of you that were here, remember what happened last week. But in summary, Hannah had been barren. She hadn't been able to have children, and she wanted to have children for quite some time. We don't know exactly how long. And so she had been crying. She'd been upset. She had brought out her petition before the Lord. And you remember, she brought the petition before the Lord and said, "Lord, if you give me a son, then I will give him back to you." And in chapter 1, that happens exactly as she prayed. And so she goes back home. She's no more sad. She's rejoicing because she's trusting God. And in chapter 1, and verse number 20, it says this, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel," which means heard of God, "saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." But now you have a little bit of an issue. What had Hannah promised? She promised that she would give the son back to the Lord, right? Well, now you have a little bit of an issue. What's going to happen? When will that take place? So she goes and she begins to wean this son. She goes and begins to prepare this child to serve the Lord. We have Anna in the service. Anna, can you come up here? Honey, come on up. Come on, it's okay. Oh, yeah, laying baby doll down. That's good. All right, come on up. Okay, good. Anna is 3 years old, okay? Now, Anna, you like being up here, or do you not? Are you scared? She's scared. Okay. Anna's 3 years old. When someone would be weaned back in Bible times, they would typically be about two or three, something like that, okay? She's a full three. She just turned three. But can you imagine, if you will, you have to put yourself into the story, okay? Sometimes when we read the Bible, we think, oh, yeah, Hannah's praising the Lord. She's excited. No, no, no. You have to put yourself into the story. Hannah has been praying for years to have a child, yes? This child is now weaned, but the child is not grown in any way. The child's two or three. She doesn't have any more kids. She hasn't done any of that. As a matter of fact, Elkanah goes to Hannah. You see in, I believe, verse 24, she goes to Hannah and says, okay, when are you going to give the child to the Lord? Right? And she said, well, once the child's weaned, then, and he said, okay, fine, but you're going to keep the promise. So now the time has finally come. At the end of chapter 1, you find that. The time has finally come where Hannah is going to give her little Samuel to the Lord. Can you picture the trip? Right? She goes on the long trip from where she lived all the way over to Shiloh. And the entire way, perhaps little Samuel's going and he's playing like little 2 and 3 year olds do, right? Being a little rambunctious, playing around. And she's going on this track knowing that she's not going to see him again. At least for another year. She's going and deciding to give her child to the Lord. And in the midst of all of this, she goes and she decides to praise the Lord. She just knows that she had one child. That's all she knows. She has more children later on, but she doesn't know that's going to happen. She has one child and she's saying, hey, God, you've still been good. You've still been good. Sometimes we can look at passages like this and we can think, oh, well, yeah, of course, God's doing great things. No, no, no. Put yourself in Hannah's shoes here. She's doing this. She doesn't know she's going to have any more kids. She's making a commitment to God. She's saying, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to praise you because, God, you did what I requested. With that understanding, let's go into the passage. Go ahead, Anna. You can go have a seat. Thanks, honey. Let's look at it. First, we can praise God. We can thank God. We can be praising God no matter what because of God's provision. And you've seen that. Because of God's provision. Look at it. Number one, her struggle. Look at verse 1 and verse number 27 if we can. This is when she's come to the temple and she's told Eli, or is telling Eli, hey, Eli, I'm giving this child to the Lord. Her struggle. Let's go through it real quickly. Her request. She is, in verse number 27, she said to Eli, hey, Eli, for this child I pray. Eli, I was the one, if you remember, that was crying and pouring out my heart to the Lord and petitioning the Lord. You remember that person you thought was drunk? That was me. For this child I prayed. God's answer. God had given me my petition, which I asked of him. But her struggle is to fulfill the commitment that she had made. Verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be led to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. You have to understand, this is not an easy thing for Hannah, nor would it be an easy thing for any of us. This is a struggle. This is a battle. But through it all, she decides, hey, God's provided, so therefore, I need to follow through. I need to do what I promised. Can I tell you, friend? Sometimes we go and we make promises, and we don't keep the promises, right? God, if you do this, then I promise I'll serve you. And then God does that, and you're like, well, right? God, if you do this, then I promise I'll do something. Well, okay. No, she's going to follow through. She's going to give her child to the Lord. Her struggle. But through it all, I see joy. I see satisfaction. Look at verse number 1, can we? And this gets into the heart of the message. And Hannah prayed and said, by the way, can I say real quick, when we're thanking God, it's really a prayer, isn't it? When we praise God, this morning, we praise God for His grace, right? We sang songs praising God for His grace. In a way, that's really a prayer. In this passage, she's again praying. Before she prayed, saying, God, I need you to work. Now she's praying, saying, God, thank you for working. And by the way, both are necessary, right? If all we do is come to God and say, gimme, 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 right? Then that's a problem. If all I did with my parents ever was say, gimme, 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 then there would be an issue. By the way, kids, don't do that, okay? Her satisfaction. She's praising God. She's thanking God. I see four simple things in verse number 1. Number 1, she has a joyful spirit. Look at it. Verse number 1, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Your heart, of course, is the center of your spirit. It's where your emotions come from in the biblical sense. The idea here, nice and simply, is she's saying, hey, I have a joyful spirit. Yes, I'm giving my child the Lord. Yes, I'm saying, child, you have to go, and I'm not going to see you for a while. But I have a joyful spirit because it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. She has a joyful spirit. She has a joyful strength. Verse number 1. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that Hannah had a horn growing out of her head or anything like that. A horn is a picture of strength in the Bible. You of course would realize if you have a bull with horns, right? That's a little bit harder to fight than a bull without horns, right? You ever seen bullfighting before? Right? Yeah. You ever seen a rodeo? Remember I did a youth mission trip out in South Dakota once. And we went and we saw a rodeo. And I was really fascinated with the rodeo until someone went and they got impaled in their leg. Okay? So it was really bad. Then I wasn't so excited about the rodeo anymore. There's strength, right? There's strength. She's saying, hey, I have a joy. My horn is exalted. I have strength and it's exalted in the Lord. It's not in her. Remember, she only has one child at this point. Right? She doesn't have, later on she'll have 6. She only has one child at this point. And she goes and she says, God, you are enough! God, I'm thankful! God, I can praise you! She has a joyful spirit. She has a joyful strength. She has joyful speech. Verse number 1. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. Now there are a few interpretations this could possibly be. I don't think it means that her mouth is enlarged and she swallowed her enemies. Okay, that's not what it's saying. I believe one, the idea is when your mouth is enlarged, you're smiling, right? Everyone, let's practice that real quick, can we? Let's practice smiling. Ready? Good. That wasn't bad. You need to work on it a little bit. That wasn't bad. She's saying I have joy, right? I think beyond that, she's going and she's saying, hey, I can rejoice. I can lift out my mouth. I can open up my mouth and say, hey, God's been good. Can I tell you, friends, when you look at your life, I guarantee you say, well, my life is hard. I've been going through trials. And by the way, we do go through trials, right? But our life is good. God's been good to us. Unfortunately, many times we just look at the problems. Can you imagine if Hannah would have been a little bit like us sometimes? Right? Chapter 2 would look a lot different, wouldn't it? Well, God, you gave me a child, but I mean, here he is. I'm giving him back to you because that's what I said I'd do. Don't want to, but you know, whatever. I guess thanks. Thanks a lot. That's how most of us would do it. Right? But can I tell you, friends, she goes and she sees it all. How could she have this joyful spirit? How could she have this joyful strength? How could she have this joyful speech? Catch it, verse number 1. Look at it. When I stop, you read the next phrase, okay? And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices, what's the next 2-3 words? In the Lord. continue on. My horn is exalted. What's the next three words? In the Lord. My spirit or my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice. What's the next three words? In thy salvation. Catch it, friends. Get this. Understand this. Her joy was not in her circumstances. Her joy was not in her situation. She was in a rough situation. You know what would be here? Her joy was not, oh, everything's perfect for me. Everything's not perfect for Hannah. You know what would be here? It's still not great for Hannah. Hannah is still in a household with Peninnah that I guarantee you is still driving her crazy. You with me here? She is still in the bad situation, but she can have joy. And by the way, every one of us can have joy because of our source of joy. It's not the situation. It's not everything that's going on. When we get our eyes on the situation, we're going to be depressed. You with me here? Because there's always in your life something you can be depressed about. You with me here? There will never not be something you can be depressed about. True. Is there anybody in this room that everything in their life is absolutely perfect right now? Anybody? Nobody. Well, I guess we should all just be really down in the dumps. No. Can I tell you, friends, when we go and we get our eyes off the situation, remember chapter 1, right? She was so focused on the situation that she couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, she couldn't do anything. She was depressed. She was discouraged. She couldn't face life. When she got her eyes on the Lord and she started trusting God, she found joy. Didn't she? She found joy. Can I tell you, friends? God's greatest provision for Hannah was not the child. The child was great. But God's greatest provision was for Hannah was the joy and the strength in the midst of the trial. Let me say that again for those of you that were sleeping. Wake up, okay? I didn't see anyone sleeping. People online are like, what? Everyone's sleeping? No, they're not. The greatest strength for Hannah, the greatest triumph for Hannah, was not having the child, although that was great. The greatest strength and the triumph for Hannah was having the joy in the midst of the trial. She began to trust God and to praise God in the midst of the trial. Can I tell you, friends, God can and will provide the exact same thing for you. You're discouraged, you're frustrated, look to God. You can find strength, you can find hope, you can find joy in the Lord. Stop looking at your problems, stop looking at the difficulties. You say, Pastor, that's hard. I get it's hard, friend. I get it's hard. But can I tell you, when you look to the Lord, you have joy. When you look at your circumstances, you'll be discouraged. Number one, she praises God for her provision. Number two, she praises God for God's position. Look at it, verse number two. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. What's she saying? She's saying, God, I just want to praise you. Number one, you've been good to me. You've taken care of me. And God, I want to thank you for that. But beyond that, I just want to praise you because God, you're something special. God, you're perfect. Did you see it there? There's none holy as the Lord. That word holy is an interesting word. It means set apart. That's what the word means. It's set apart from sin. It's set apart in terms of different. It's just set apart. Okay? It can apply to being holy in what we do, how we act. It can apply to being holy as in set apart from us. Can I remind you, friends, that God is bigger than we are? Right? Sometimes we go, and when we're going through trials, we can almost blame God a little bit, can't we? Right? God, how could you let this in my life? It's not fair. God, why would you do this? It doesn't make sense. Can I tell you, friends? God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God has a better plan. And Hannah at this point has realized, hey, there's none as holy as the Lord. God, you're perfect. God, you know what's best. God, you understand. You got it, God. I'm trusting you. Praising God for His perfection. Praising God for His position. Look at verse number 2 again. For there's none beside thee. What's she saying? She's saying, God, you are it. You are everything. There's no one apart from you. Now, are there people apart from God? Sure there are, right? What's she saying? She's saying, God, you are infinitely more important. You are the priority. God, you are great. There's none beside you. In my life, I live for one reason, and that's you. Can you say that in your life? Can I tell you, friends? If you're not saying that in your life, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be discouraged. If your life is for other people, if your life is for what you see, your life is for anything but the Lord, you're going to be discouraged because it doesn't make sense sometimes. When God is everything, when you're trusting Him, then you can praise Him. Praising God for His perfection, for His position, praising God for His permanence. Verse number 2, neither is there any rock like our God. What's she saying? She's saying, God, you're like a rock. And you're permanent. You're there. I can build my life on you, and no matter what happens, I can trust you. Friend, have you built your life on the Lord? Is your life based, built, foundation is on the Lord? I'm reminded what 1 Corinthians says. There's no other foundation that can be laid than that which has already been laid, and that's Jesus Christ. You can't lay your foundation on anything else. You know why? Because if you lay your foundation on anything else, it's going to get washed away. God, there is no rock beside you. You are everything. She's praising God. She's saying, God, you're good. When was the last time you, a church person that came here today, church member, church attender, whatever you are, when was the last time you went and you praised God? And you said, God, you're perfect. God, you're everything to me. God, you're what I built my life on. Can I tell you, friends, the reason sometimes why we're so discouraged is because we build our lives on stuff that's temporary. Right? We build our lives on things that don't really matter. What did Hannah struggle with? She struggled with the opinion of others. Right? Just a big part of it. She was so distraught and so discouraged because Penina's thoughts. Right? Penina bothered her and said, you should have kids already. Why don't you have kids? That's what bothered Anna so much. When she built her life on the Lord and not what Penina thought, she built her life on the Lord and not what Elkanah thought, her husband. When she built her life on the Lord, then all of a sudden there was praise and there was grace and there was mercy. Why? Not because God provided a son. Not because God provided a son, but because God showed her that He is enough.
Amen.
He's enough. He's enough. Verse number 3. His perception is all that matters. Verse number 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by Him actions are weighed. What's she saying? She's saying, hey, what God thinks is what matters in my life now. Right? You can say what you want, but what God thinks is what matters. That you can be all proud and arrogant. You shouldn't, but you can. Because God knows what's best. And I'm trusting Him. Luke 14, verse number 11. She's going to go into a little bit talking about how God will abase the proud. He'll bring down the proud, but He lifts up the humble. Luke 14 and verse 11 talks about that exact same thing. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Can I tell you, friends, you go and you lift yourself up and you say you're all hot stuff. Oh, my God, if you just look at me. When you do that, God knows. God knows. God knows who you are. God knows what you're facing. Why don't we just be honest about God, honest with God? I'm convinced, and I've said it a lot. Some of the most arrogant people in the entire world are in churches. You know why? Because we can go and we can get all dressed up. This is my dark gray suit. We can get all dressed up and we can look all fancy and nice, right? We can come into church and we can look at me. I have it all together. Ooh. I don't struggle with sin. I am holy. We can put on our little facades, right? We don't realize that God knows our hearts.
That's right.
Can I tell you, friends, if we went and we took your thoughts and what you did throughout this week and we put them on these screens, you're pretty embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
God knows our hearts. God knows our thoughts. Why don't we just humble ourselves to Him?
Right.
When we humble ourselves, then God gives us the grace and strength we need. Finally, I see in this passage, she's praising God for His power. In verses 4 through 7, it's kind of going back and forth between the taking care of the proud, right, which she talked about in verse number 3, but also God's power to do so, okay? So I kind of struggle with where to put these, but I put them under His power. Verse number 8, let's look at it if we can. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. What's she saying? She's saying this nice and simply. She's saying, hey, God's in control of everything. So no matter what you need in your life, God has the power to help you meet that need. That's what she's saying. She gives 5 different examples. He has power over our strength. Verse number 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Back in Bible times, if you were to pull back a bow, it wouldn't be a compound bow like we have. Compound bows by themselves are relatively hard to pull back, but it would be a normal bow. As a matter of fact, English longbow archers, I'm kind of a history nerd, English longbow archers were so strong that even their bone mass shows that they were archers. One of their bones, the right arm, their bone was bigger, like nearly twice as big, because it was that hard to pull back a bow. What she's saying is she's saying, hey, people that think you're strong, can I tell you God's stronger? People that think you're weak, you're stumbling, you can't do it, you'll be girded with strength. God is stronger than your greatest strength. And if you start thinking that you are something, oh, I got it together because look at how strong I am. Look at my gifts. Can I tell you, friends, when you get to that moment, then you are set to fall because God's stronger. God's stronger over our strength, over our food. Verse number 5. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry seek. She's saying, hey, you think you got it all together? Oh, well, I have enough to take care of myself. Oh, I have all this provision. I got it together. No. God says, hey, you think that's the case? Then you'll end up hungry. But if you go and you say, God, I need you to provide for me, then God will provide. Continues on. Verse number 3. Over our fruitfulness, verse 5. They that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. She's talking about not having children again. He's saying, hey, God's in control of this. Can I remind you what happened in the case of Hannah? Who closed Hannah's womb? Verse 5, who did? God did. Chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 6, God did. God was in control. So if you're struggling with that, God, why can't I have children? God, why haven't you provided? Can I tell you, friends, God is in control of that. Becky and I, we've talked about before as we were going through this. For a while, we wanted to have kids, and we didn't have kids right away, and we weren't sure that would happen. And our prayer request through it all was, God, if our kids won't get saved, then God, we don't want to have kids. That's always been our prayer request. Why? Because I would much rather not have the child than have a child that doesn't go to heaven. Right? Can I tell you, friends, I don't know why God hasn't done it. But He's powerful enough to do it. So if He hasn't done it, then there must be a reason for it. That's the point of all these things. Verse number 6. Over our lives. Verse 6. The Lord killeth, maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and lift and bringeth up. He's saying, hey, God's in control of our very lives. Right? The fact that you are alive today is because God let you be. Right? You are living right now because God is okay with you living. If God wasn't okay with you living, guess what? You wouldn't be alive! So here's the point, folks. Catch this. God is everything. He's powerful enough. He's strong enough. Put your trust in Him. Number five here. He's over our wealth. Verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Verse 8. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. What's she saying? She's saying God's in control of over our wealth, right? We are nothing without God. That's the whole point. God is everything, and whatever strength you think you have, I will tell you with all certainty, is nothing compared to God. So praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. Trust Him for what you want but you don't have. The point is, God is everything. That's the point of what she's saying, isn't it? God's everything in her life. Praising God for His provision. Praising God for His position. Praising God for His protection. Look at verse number 9. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord are broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. She's praising God for His protection. Remember it. What's happening here? She's going and she's giving her son away, right? Right? Her little Samuel, 2-3 years old, she is going and giving to Eli. Which, if you recall anything about Eli, we haven't gotten into him, but he's kind of a mess. Right? Sorry, Eli. He's kind of a bit of a mess. He's overweight, he's fat, he goes and when people are praying, he says they're drunk. Right? He's raised some terrible kids. And she's going and she's giving her little son to serve in the temple amongst this giant mess. You think it's tough sending your kids to school? It would be a lot tougher for Hannah. Right? Literally, Eli's sons have made the temple into a brothel. Okay? It's a mess. And she's going in this passage and she's saying, God, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You to do what I can't do. Verse number 9. God, He needs physical protection. And God, I'm trusting You to provide it. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. You see how it all builds, right? She's going and she's saying, God, You've given Your strength to me. God, You are the one that only provides strength. You're the only strength there is. Right? Any of our strength, if God wants your house to be robbed, then your house is going to be robbed. Right? Right? I talk to some people sometimes and they're like, oh, well, I got to protect my kids from everything. I'm all for protecting them from spiritual dangers. I'm all for that. But can I tell you, friends, in the physical sense, if God wants Joshua to break his arm tomorrow, Joshua's breaking his arm tomorrow, no matter how much I protect him. You with me? Josh, don't break your arm tomorrow. Right? God's the one that's going to protect them. She gave Samuel to the Lord, and she's trusting God. You got to protect him. You got to take care of him. You got to meet his needs. Can I tell you, friends? I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. In terms of the family, there are two responsibilities of a parent. I have four kids. Two responsibilities I have. One, to raise them up in the way that they should go. Right? I have to train Joshua, Esther, Anna, Abigail. I have to train them to go in the way that they should go. But number two, I have to trust God to make sure they stay that way. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Right? So there's a sense where I try as best I can to push Joshua, Esther, Anna, Abigail in the right direction. We have family devotions every night. We pray with them every night. We go and we try. I constantly, right, Josh? I constantly try and bring a Bible stuff to him. I'm constantly trying to push my kids in the right direction, but when the day is done, it's all up to God on whether they stay there. Can I tell you, friends, there has to be that reality in your life. Hannah's tried to raise Samuel as best she can, but she's saying, God, I'm trusting you. You need to take care of him. You need to protect him. For her child, for all God's children, really, that's the truth, verse 9. Who keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. What's that meaning? The wicked shall be silent in darkness. Saying literally that the wicked won't be able to do anything against the power of God. Can I tell you, friends, if you're worried and struggled, you're worried about the future, our nation's a big giant mess, right? A few people have talked to me and said, well, I'm kind of concerned about the election and the results, right? Either way. Can I tell you, friends, God's in control. Right? God's in control. When the day's done, God's in control. So we can trust Him. Right? I'm going to tonight talk about Christian responsibilities, Christian principles on voting. But regardless of what happens, God's in control. So let's put our faith and trust in Him. Physical protection, number 2, spiritual protection, and then we'll close. Verse number 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. Number 1, He talks about a coming judgment. She talks about a coming judgment. Can I tell you, friends, can I remind you that God is going to go and He's going to take care of things. Amen. In Hannah's life, she struggled with a lot of things. Penina was a jerk to her, yes? Right. She's dropping off Samuel to Eli, who's kind of a mess. Her, his sons are even worse. But she's going and she's saying, God, I'm trusting you. You got to take care of this. It's above me. She can't do anything against Penina. She certainly can't do anything against Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. She's saying, God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm trusting you. God, you need to take care of it. You need to work. Can I tell you, friends, no matter what problem you've gone through, you say, hey, someone's hurt me in the past. Someone's done this. Someone's done that. Someone's done the other thing. Can I tell you, friends, they'll stand before God for that. But you have to stand before God for you. You have to go and do what God wants you to do. And right now, that's 1, trusting Him. That's 2, praising Him. That's what it is. Coming judgment. Number 2, becoming king. As we've been talking about, the whole idea of 1 Samuel is, who's the king? Look at it. First time the word king shows up in this book, 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and verse number 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And He shall give strength unto His, what? King. And exalt the horn of His anointed. What's she saying? She's saying, hey, God's going to work it out. She's not talking about a physical king here. Understand that. At this point, they're not even, king is not even in the mind. Y'all with me here? There's no king in Israel, right? As we talked about before, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Everyone's just following their own plan. There's no king in Israel. There doesn't even seem to be any desire for a king. That won't happen for at least 30, 40 years. So this is not something that everyone's talking about a king. Yeah, a king's coming. No, that's not even anywhere. But here she's going and she's saying, hey, God is the king, right? God's the king. Yeah, can I tell you, in the midst of this crazy election time, and by the way, it's crazy out there. In the midst of all this, our president is not going to be Donald Trump, and our president is not going to be Joe Biden. Our president is going to be the Lord. He's the one that presides over this nation. Right? He's the one that's in control. She's going and she's saying, God, I'm just trusting you. God, you're going to protect. God, you're going to take care of. God, you're going to provide. God, you are everything. And I'm trusting you. Can I ask you, friend, is that your heart and that your life? There's a lot of burdens that we struggle with. There's a lot of burdens that can draw us away. But our minds have got to always be focused on Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. A few simple questions. Very, very simple. First question is this. Have you received Jesus? Have you received the King? The Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? I'm not asking if you've tried harder. I'm not asking if you're a good person. I'm not asking if you do good things. All those are great. All those are fine. None of those get you into heaven. I'm not asking if you go to church. It's like saying I hang out in a garage, so therefore I'm a car. I'm asking if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you put your faith in Him and have you received Him by faith? Plus nothing, minus nothing. I've received Christ. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I've received the King. I've received Jesus. I know. I'm a child of His. I'm going to the King. I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand nice and high as a testimony of the Lord? I know I'm saved. Good. Thank you. You can put your hands down. A few, I did not see your hand. I appreciate your honesty very, very much. Can I tell you, today would be a great day to get that settled, to know for sure that you're a child of God, to know you're saved. Getting saved is not trying harder, like I said. It's not doing things. Getting saved is trusting Christ. It's realizing that you are a sinner that cannot save yourself, but Jesus paid your debt. He paid the fine. If I were going and I were giving away $1 million, and I had a $1 million check up here, and I said, hey, anyone that comes up here, I'm going to give you $1 million. I don't. But if I did, what would you have to do? You'd have to get out of the seat and you'd have to come take it, right? You have to trust that that check's not going to bounce. Oh, well, Pastor, he doesn't do that. You have to trust it and you'd have to take it. Can I tell you, friends, salvation is simply that. You trust that Christ can provide it and you receive it by faith. You go in your heart. You say, okay, I'm putting my trust in that. I'm receiving Christ. You say, that's really easy. Yeah. Yeah, it's really easy. Because Christ wants you to receive it. If I gave all kinds of requirements to give the check, then I wouldn't want to give it. Christ wants you to receive it. He wants you to be His child. You say, Pastor John, I haven't received Christ, and I want to get it settled today. It's not a matter of coming forward. It's not a matter of, I will not embarrass you. I don't do that at all. I want to talk to you after the service, and I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor John, you know, I want to get settled. I want to receive Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Quietness of this time. Everyone's heads are bowed. Everyone's eyes are closed. There's literally no one looking but me, okay? Anyone in this place that says, I want to receive Christ. I want to get it settled once and for all. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Or just look up at me. Second question, and the main point of this passage is this. Christian friend, are you praising God for what He's done? Are you thanking God? Are you seeking Him and saying, God, You are good enough. God, You are great. God, I'm trusting You. And yes, I got problems. Yes, I got difficulties. But You are bigger than all of them. And God, I'm going to trust You. Say, Pastor, in some way, I haven't been praising God like I should. I've been looking at the problems. I've been looking at the difficulties. I've been looking at the burden. And I haven't been praising God. My eyes and my mind haven't been focused on Him. They've been focused on everything. Pastor, I need to get something settled today. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of the Lord? Pastor, I need to get something settled. I need to start praising God a little bit more. If that's you, raise your hand nice and high. Good, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands. Many hands. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord, can't we? Dear Heavenly Father, You've seen the hands. You know the hearts. You know what's going on in each circumstance, in each situation. Father, You know the trials that we face. Lord, in no way in this message did I want to demean or diminish the trials. But Lord, in the same way, I don't want to diminish You. Lord, You are bigger than anything that we face in our lives. So Father, help us to get our eyes off of the problems and to get our eyes fixed upon You. You are great. There is no God beside You. Lord, You're the only rock that we can or should build our lives on. Lord, You are everything to us. So Father, even in the midst of the trials, the problems, the burdens, even in the midst of the heartaches, Father, I pray that You would help us and strengthen us to trust You and to rejoice in You. Lord, I pray for these that raise their hands. Lord, I don't know how Your Spirit spoke to them, what You're challenging them to do, but Father, I pray that they would follow through and do it. Work in this invitation and help us, Lord, to get some things set up before You. And Lord, help us to live that way as we leave this place in a moment. Well, thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. With every head bowed.